And there's Muslims in the Bay Area that are concerned about that right now. But that might be where the heart is. And where your heart is, that's where you are. So your body might be in prayer, but your heart is in sin. I mean, that's Bani Adam. So you have to look at the level of the person's spiritual evolution in speaking to them and understanding. I mean, I've heard people years ago that got in these big arguments with me and just this and that. And then years later, I met them and they apologized. In fact, that just happened to me recently from somebody. Came up to me and just apologized. Said, I just want to apologize to you. And I said, don't worry about it. You know, it's fine. But where that person was, he couldn't see something that he was able to see later about something that he thought was wrong. But later on, he realized that it wasn't wrong based on his knowledge and his understanding at that stage. And that's something that we all go through. There are things that we think are absolutely wrong, and later we learn that they're right, or that they were at least possible, that there was room for interpretation. But people that are hasty to judge, that's a sign of spiritual immaturity. Imam al-Ma'ziri, radiallahu anhu, said, it was said about him that his knowledge was so vast that he rarely saw anybody do anything wrong. Because he would always find, oh, well, that's so-and-so's opinion. Or maybe he's following so-and-so's fatwa. And so, traditionally, the ulama considered it a sign of immaturity for people that were so hasty to condemn other people, that it was actually a sign of immaturity. And one of the tragedies of the modern Muslim condition is that because of mass education, which is largely secular, people have been introduced into literacy. And that enables them to read books that in previous periods of time they would not have been enabled to read. And one of the things about reading books without sohbah is that you take rules without realities. You see, you'll take the outward but not the inward with it. And one of the signs traditionally of an autodidact in the Muslim world is that they had a habitual condemnation of others. That was something that the ulama said about Ibn Hazm, for instance, radiallahu anhu, and I don't want to aghtabu. I love Ibn Hazm, and he was a great scholar, and I love his books. But Ibn Hazm was known for really being fierce with some of the other scholars, attacking them. He was also known for being an autodidact. He was somebody that did not study with shuyukh. He had a brilliant intellect, and he studied on his own. And there are many scholars in the history of Islam that were like that. They were very brilliant. And the ulama actually debate about whether you can acquire knowledge without a teacher or not. And most of the ulama believe that you can if you have enough brilliance or intelligence, natural gifts, that you can. But you will always be deficient in your what they call tarbiyah. That the person will not have those qualities that are associated with taking knowledge from people who have taken knowledge from people who have taken knowledge back to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because there is a certain, what's called tahdhib, the Arabs, is a beautiful word. It's a tahdhib that goes. It's a polishing of the soul that goes with the knowledge. Because as that scholar that you're studying with, he's breaking away ignorance. Because knowledge is actually already in the soul. And what he's doing is he's sculpting what's already in the soul. You cannot acquire anything that wasn't already in you. You see, and that's what knowledge is. Education in Latin means to bring out of, educare. It means to lead out of. You see, allama means that Allah, allama al-insan, Allah has already imprinted in the human being knowledge. And that is why knowledge in reality is recollection. It's actually memory. And that's why the Quran is called dhikr. It's the remembrance. Because what you're doing is you're remembering what was already put in you. But if your heart is so encrusted, there's blockage and you're unable to recollect. It's like a person who lived through an event, but he can't remember. And what will often prevent you from remembering things is trauma, right? The trauma of the world. So there's people that just, they're unable to study or learn. So, in terms of dealing with Muslims, the basic premise has to be compassion. We have to have compassion for our brothers and sisters. And we have to recognize that all these ayahs and hadith that are brought up about having ghilza and mubtada and, you know, frowning in the face of the innovator and all of these things. Those hadiths were all related when the ummah was filled with knowledge, and they apply to times when people's deviancy is clearly unacceptable. When you have times where nobody knows anymore what the truth is. I mean, our books now are being manipulated. I was showing people different, that I have in my own library, different books at different period. The same book that was printed in 1970, and it has things in it that were taken out of later editions because the publishing house was purchased by a certain sect that didn't want those ideas being disseminated in the ummah. And so people don't even realize that their books are being manipulated. The tradition of Islam is being changed in computers. And things are being blacked out or deleted, just retypeset, so that you read a book and you think you're reading what that author said, and people have removed from it. And that's one of the things that Allah says about الَّذِينَ يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَنْ مَوَاضِعِ, those who change or alter words from their appropriate places. So people don't even realize that the deen is being changed before their very eyes, although the deen is protected, and we believe that. But that does not mean that you can't have this, what's called a type of treachery that has occurred historically, and it occurred even at the time of Imam Sha'rani, said that people put things in their books. There are people on the internet that write things about people that have never happened. And then it becomes a lie. And one of the hadiths that's in the Sahih, the Prophet ﷺ said that يَأْتِ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانْ يَتَكَلَّمَ الْمَرْءُ بِالْكَذِبِ فَيَبْلُغُ الْآفَاقِ, that there's coming a time when somebody will tell a lie and instantaneously it will reach the corners of the earth. Because fa is harf ta'qib, it's something that happens, it's not ba'da muhla, it's something that happens just after. Ja' amrun fa zaydun. Like Amr came in and then immediately after Zayd. And the hadith says that a man will speak a lie and he didn't say thumma. He said fa yablugh al-afaq. It will immediately thereafter be all over the world. And that's one of the things. And one of the things about liars in Sharia is you're a liar if you tell something that you have not confirmed its veracity. A lot of Muslims don't know that because they haven't studied the rules of the tongue. Kadhab in the Arabic language is somebody who continually tells lies. It's different from kadhib. And in the hadith literature, a person would be declared a liar if he didn't verify the sanad. Not, there's people read the books of hadith now, mustarahat al-hadith, and they say, wa kana kadhaban. And they say, oh, he was a liar. And they don't understand that the ulama sometimes meant, he wasn't wadda'. He wasn't somebody that fabricated hadith. He was somebody that did not verify the truthfulness of the hadith and would relate it as if it was true, which is a liar in Sharia. So if somebody tells you something about somebody and you go and tell somebody else and it's not true, you are written as a liar. And if you keep doing that, you become a liar with God, because you can tell a lie in your life, but if you do consistently, you become a liar with Allah, and the liar is the worst of creatures. And the Prophet ﷺ said, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ شَرًّا أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. It's enough to consider a man evil that he relates everything he hears. And the Quran says, إِنْ جَأَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. If people come, if a fasiq comes to you with some news, it says, فَتَبَيَّنُوا. You should immediately find out whether that's true or not. And in a riwayah sab'iyya, فَتَثَبَّتُوا. So it's not just tabyeen, it's also tathbeet. Tabyeen means to find out exactly what is being said, to understand it. Tathabbut means to find out if it's really thabit, if that's really from that person. Because there's things you hear and you don't know what they meant by it. So-and-so said such and such. And you don't even know. You have to ask the person, what did you mean? That's what a qadi does that. That's what a qadi does. Even in the rules of apostasy, the qadi has to ask the person, what did you mean? Because he might have meant something completely different.